Hello, and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
But just to give you, just tore it. But it's better fitting because it's no longer Brock, but it's just Rock, right? Rock has been a name of mine over the course of life. And growing up here in Fairmount, I've also had the name of being an Argyle. Any Argyles in the house? Maybe you've had that identity at some point. And then I headed off to Taylor University, and my identity became that of a Trojan. I became a Trojan for about 10 months and decided that I wanted to make a change. And so what you could also refer to me is also a college dropout. I didn't finish Taylor. I left Taylor without a degree but plenty of parking tickets. So thankful for that. But I moved into a state, and how many of y'all maybe went off to college and changed your degree or even left school or just didn't know where you wanted to go or what you were going to do, and I became confused. Where am I going? What am I doing? What's the next maybe season of life that God would have for me? And I remember as I moved up to Crown Point and was working with a church there, although surrounded by a lot of people and a youth ministry and other people on staff, I didn't have my girl. And there's something about a man that needs his maiden, and I was just lonely. And I identified in some loneliness and in some hardships, and it was just maybe a difficult and hard season of life. And then came my most favorite identity in all of life. I became a husband. And my girl came into my life, and there was this new identity. There was now a new role that I had to play. There was something that had transitioned and transformed now in my life from moving just from Brock and Argyle, a Trojan, a dropout, confused and lonely. Now a man with a mission moving towards a family. And after that became my second favorite identity. I became a dad. And as a father, there's something that's really, really neat about being a dad where there's others that are looking to you, that are dependent upon you. And you would say, hello, my name is, I'm a dad. And I identify with my role and my responsibility now with what God has maybe called me to. And after that, I moved into becoming a pastor. And a pastor is someone where now your family has expanded, and instead of just us five, it's no longer just the party of five. Now it's the party of 150, 200. And there's something that kind of grew in the whole idea of being a pastor. However, there's also, if you're going to be a pastor, at least at Fairmount Friends, history says that you have to ride a motorcycle. So, I ride a Triumph motorcycle, Zen 2.0, if you will. It's just part of it. If you're going to be here, Andrew, we got to get that bike license happening pretty quick. Zen Harvey rode a motorcycle, and we all know that Zen Harvey is the fourth member of the Trinity around here, so I figured that I ought to ride a motorcycle. There's also times in my life whenever I'm not totally sure of myself or confident, and I feel like perhaps I'm just playing a part, or maybe I'm just trying to follow a script. What I really am is just a poser. And maybe I'm just trying to be an actor on a stage, or I'm just trying to do something that I think I'm supposed to do, but I don't know. Maybe you're just acting in life, maybe just pretending in marriage, maybe perhaps just doing whatever it takes to get by in your job. Recently in this season of life, I've just been tired. I am, man. I'm just tired. Perhaps you've been going through something, and you feel like, man, I got this. Whatever's going on in my marriage, whatever's going on with my kids, I got this with my J-O-B, and I got this happening in my community, and I got this, just all of these things are just mounting. What I identify with the most is just weariness. Perhaps you're walking through a season like that, and unfortunately, an area where I really identify with is I'm just a sinner. And the more time I spend in the reality of who Jesus is and the power of the cross and what he's done in my life, I just take on an identity of, Jesus, you're so much bigger and greater and better. And I feel like I'm so far from who he is and what I'm supposed to be like. These different identities that maybe all of us can associate with, and perhaps you are a dad, maybe a husband, maybe you once were a husband. I don't know, maybe parenting has just been tough. Maybe you've gone through seasons of adolescence where you're just confused and life just went a whole different direction where you're like, how did I end up here? Yeah, I ask that question often. And yet the Lord, he doesn't see your life as overly confusing. It's just incredibly binary. He just led you from one thing to the next. He just led you from breadcrumb to breadcrumb. And you're here. And I believe that God should, that we ought to be accountable to God just to steward the places that he has currently called us to. My grandpa has worshiped here for many, many years. You probably know him as Mike Meyer. However, his name is Francis Marion. He got this name Francis Marion from his parents, however, and anybody remember the name Francis Marion, the swamp fox, who used to run around as like a Daniel Boone? He was kind of one of America's, rogue warriors, if you will. And so he was named the swamp fox, Francis Marion. And then he went off to the Navy, and he went by the name Marion. And people in the Navy said, Marion doesn't sound too manly. I don't think we can do Marion. What's your real name? What's your first name? He's like, well, my real name is Francis. And they said, okay, that's not going to work either. What we're going to have to do is just give you a name. And they said, from now on, you're going to be Mike. And he owned it. Yeah, Mike. That's my name. I'm gonna be Mike. And as he began to kind of re-own a different name, there was maybe a difference that came about him. Recently, he's been living up in Warren at Heritage Point at the nursing facility, and some of our people have gone up to visit him. And they ask a nurse, they say, hey, I'm here to visit Mike Meyer. I say, we don't have anybody by the name of Mike Meyer. And they got lost. I go, where is he? And he goes by the name of Francis Marion. There also was another Marion in American history. His name was Marion Robert Morrison. Perhaps you don't know this name, but he was America's baddest cowboy. Once he hit the screen, his name was John Wayne. He was the Duke. But his original name was Marion Robert Morrison. But it wasn't too long until his baby brother was born that his parents changed his middle name because they wanted to name their next child Robert. And they kind of rolled the dice. Maybe we're not going to have another boy. Maybe it'll be a girl. We don't know, but we really like the name Robert. And so they changed his name from Marion Robert to Marion Mitchell. Marion Mitchell Morrison, the three M's. And then he had this dog that he liked to travel around with, and he would go to different fire departments and all around, and this dog, they always called him Duke. And before long, they would say, here comes the Duke. And he took that off to Hollywood where he was off and running. But John Wayne said this. He said, there comes a time in every man's life where his name no longer fits him. And he became something else. As we look at different identities that we can all wrestle with, and perhaps you've had identity crisis for 20 years, 40 years, 80 years, who knows? But maybe Jesus would want to show us a little bit about who he is and how that bears weight on our life as we move forward. If you would, flip with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Luke is in the New Testament. It's one of the Gospels. And in Luke chapter 24, and we'll start here in verse 13. This is Easter Sunday. Jesus had just risen from the dead, and now he is alive. They go to the grave. It's an empty tomb, and people are wondering, where is Jesus? We jump into the story where there's two men that are going on a walk. It's called the Road to Emmaus. If y'all remember, It is the Passover feast. Everyone from the surrounding area has shown up to Jerusalem. If you were a Jew in that day, you came to the Passover feast or the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so everybody is here and they're ready for it. And so these men, now Passover is done. Jesus has risen and now they are walking home on this road to Emmaus. Verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and he walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. Right here we see, straight from the get, there's a 7 mile walk that these guys are on, and you can't go 7 miles walking with someone unless there's a couple things that we must first understand. First, 7 mile walk with Jesus would change your life. To walk 7 miles is about 3 hours, 2.5 to 3 hours, depending on how quick you can read your Fitbit and it motivates you to go faster. But 7 miles, 3 hours potentially. In a 7 mile walk with Jesus, no doubt there would be some good questions. There would be tons of good answers. I think that in order to go 7 miles with someone out on a journey wilderness, you would have to feel safe with them. And when Jesus enters the storyline, I think he just has people feel safe. Maybe you've been in religious experiences and you're like, this thing is just weird. This is just wacky. People, Christians, you just can't trust them. Christians, they're just all hypocrites, whatever. And you can kind of cast this on people, but really you're casting it on Jesus. And so we disconnect. Can I just encourage you this morning? Jesus is safe. Christians might have dinged you up. Fallen people might have not always been perfect, but Jesus is good. And Jesus jumps in and walks on this journey with them, and he's safe. As they're walking, a couple questions start coming out. I don't know about you, but if I had 3 hours to walk with Jesus, I'd have a few questions. Number one, why didn't Nick Lachey and Jessica Simpson make it? That one was tough. Like, why did Zayn leave One Direction? Like, that one stung a little bit. I know it stung Jeff. Jessup, he's a One Direction fan. Perhaps you would ask, why do I do the things that I don't want to do? Why are the things that I want to do, I continue to not do? Why is there this wrestle within me? I want to love you and pursue you, Jesus, but I just don't. And I don't want to continue in this sin and continue to treat people this way and talk down to them and demean my wife and be hard with my kids, but I just continue to do that. Why? What's going on in my heart? I would want to know. My goal here this morning, we're going to fast forward to the end of this walk, and we're going to see what happens with these guys. Look at verse 30. This is Jesus. Whenever he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks. He broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road? And he opened the scriptures to us. My hope this morning is that our eyes would be open, that we would see Jesus in a new way. This Easter is that Jesus is here in a new way, like you've never been able to see him before. And I want to go on this 7 mile walk with Jesus and these two men and discover what was happening in their conversation. We continue on here in verse 16. This is Luke 24:16. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? And they stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? What things, he asked, about Jesus of Nazareth? They replied, he was a prophet, powerful in word and in deed before God and all of the people, the chief priests and our rulers, handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all of this has taken place. We had hoped that it was going to be something, and it really wasn't. We had hoped that Jesus was going to answer this, this, and this, but he didn't. We hoped that he would become this great and amazing king, but he's not. And he said that he would give us eternal life, that he would live forever, and look, he's dead. He's a disappointing redeemer. We're kind of bummed, and it says that they hung their heads, they were downcast as they were talking to the very maker of their soul. Their eyes had been so darkened that they couldn't even see the God-man standing in front of them. How many of y'all know sometimes disappointment can darken reality so much so that we can't even see the light when it literally is standing in front of us? Isn't it amazing that some people didn't even know that he had risen after the grave was declared empty? Just wonder, in our day here in America, Jesus has been arisen for 2,000 years, and maybe we still don't know what a risen Savior looks like right in front of our eyes. What does that bear weight on my life, on my freedom, and my maybe bondage to sin, or the freedom I could have in my home? It says, but we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all of this took place. Verse 22, in addition, some of our women amazed us, and they went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then glory, and then enter into his glory? In the beginning, with Moses and the prophets, he exclaimed to them what was said in all of the scriptures concerning himself. Can you imagine Jesus preaching the Bible to you? It says that he starts back with Moses, and he starts going through the prophets and through the history of Scripture. This is Jesus walking with you for 3 hours explaining Scripture. What would you pay to have that moment? Verse 28, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued as if he was going farther. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over. And so he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And then he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us when we talked with him on this road, and he opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11, these are the other disciples, and those with them assembled together, saying, it is true, the Lord has risen. He has appeared to Simon. And the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized to them whenever they broke bread. For some of them, they seemingly know the story of Jesus. They knew who he was. They remembered his promises. They knew the scriptures. He had said this, this, and this. Maybe even some people here this morning, you know the story. You know God. You know Easter. You know Christmas. You kind of get the gist of it. You know heaven. But there's just some gaps. And Jesus, if I could encourage you, just wants to jump in the storyline with you and start going on a walk. And he wants to fill in some gaps. And he wants to tell you more about himself. I remember whenever this particular song came out as a kid, We Will Rock You by Queen. Anybody remember that? This song came out in 1977, I believe. On a count of three, everybody say how old you were in 1977. 1, 2, 3. I was -5. This song came out, and I thought I knew the words. I thought I knew how it went, and I thought it was, buddy, you're a young man on your way, and the streets are going to make you a big man someday. But that's not it. It's buddy, you're a young man, hard man, and you're shouting in the streets, it's going to make you a big man someday. But I didn't care, because I just wanted to get to the "we will rock you" part, right? And I just had some gaps. I just kind of missed a couple of the words here and there, but it was close. It was fine. There was another song that came out by this American rock band. Anybody ever heard of the long-haired men called Aerosmith? They had a song that said, "Dude looks like a lady." Came out in 1987 on the count of three. One, two, three. I was five. It came out, and I thought it was "Do This Like a Lady." And I didn't know what we were doing, but I was going to do it just like a lady. And I'm just screaming, "Do this like a lady." And honestly, it wasn't that long ago that I figured out "dude looks like a lady." And I was like, gee whiz. Yes, Steven Tyler, you do look like a lady. But I thought I knew the lyrics, and I thought I knew the story, and perhaps you thought you knew, and you've been boasting in this thing, screaming and living this way, and you didn't have a clue. You didn't know the fullness, or at least maybe there were some gaps that needed to be filled, or maybe you just needed to read the lyrics one more time to see what it truly was saying and how it should bear weight on your own life. These men were kind of sharing what they thought was to be the truth based upon facts. They just rattled off facts. But if I could contend this morning that facts and truth are not always the exact same thing. The fact is that King David was a womanizer, that he was a sinner, that he was a man who lived in hedonism. But the truth is that he was a man after God's own heart. That's who God identifies him with. The facts are is that Gideon was running because he was scared to death because the enemies are coming in and he's wanting to hightail it out of there and he's hiding in the wine press threshing grain. He's scared to death. But the angel comes and he says, "But the truth about you, Gideon, is that you're a mighty man of valor." Perhaps you look at some of the own facts of your life and maybe the fact is that you're a dropout. And Jesus would just say, "I've just redirectioned you." Perhaps you would say, "Yeah, but I'm divorced." And Jesus would say, "But I'm a redeemer." You say, "Yeah, I once was a father, and my kids have just left, and they want nothing to do with me." And Jesus would come in and say, "Yeah, those are the facts, but the truth is I see you as a man of God with a father heart of God that's called to double down on your family and to love up those kids. And I don't care if they're grown, if they're gone, whatever it is that I've called you to this. This is the truth of God's word about you." These two men, they're walking on this road to Emmaus, just much like we are today. We're just walking. We're just going through this journey of life. They're singing this song. They're missing a couple lines. They're missing the words. They think they have some knowledge of Jesus, and Jesus is literally standing right in front of them. You thought you kind of knew who this God was, but he's here this morning, and he wants to drill down a little bit deeper. What's fascinating about these two men is they're leaving Jerusalem, meaning they were a part of the religious experience. They were there, man. They went to all the church services that week. They were at Passover. They were in Jerusalem. They were required to be there. They had really good church attendance. They even looked at the hymnal and not the screen. They were really good Christians. They did it all. They took part, they picked out the lamb, they did the yearling, they did all the stuff, they did all of the ritual, religious stuff. And Jesus shows up and they don't even know who he is. Church, how many times do we just come through and just strike up the band and do the announcements and let's move on and do our holy writ? And Jesus wants to know you. He wants to go home with you. He goes home with these two guys. He wants to come into your kitchen. He wants to dine with you and have relationship with you. And if all you know of Jesus is what happens here at 10:30, you've missed it. You've got a lot of gaps to fill. And if I could just encourage you, Jesus wants to dive in just a little bit deeper this morning. Perhaps Jesus on this journey with them told them, "Guys, you know you've got to have a sacrifice because we just had Passover. And guys, I want to let you know, in order to have a relationship with God, you have to be perfect. It takes perfection. But it's not based upon your perfection, guys. It's based upon someone else being perfect and somebody else being the sacrifice for you. And if Jesus can come in and put his perfection upon your account, you are going to have a relationship with God. He'll draw you in. And I would just ask, Jesus, could you put your perfection upon my account? Jesus, because I am not awesome. I am a sinner, and I am a poser, and I am confused, and I am lonely, and I go through hardships, and I'm just tired. And I need the fully alive Jesus to come up inside of me and on me and reign and rule through me. I just need a God that is fully and finally alive. And if I could encourage any of you this morning, perhaps you've gone through some hardship, and if I could just tell you this, turn the page. It's a new day. As Jesus rolled the grave away, come on, let's roll that page. It's a new day. It's a new page. He wants to rewrite the story, and no longer is your story death, disease, disability, dying, disconnected, discouraged, depressed. It now is, I'm alive and I'm redeemed. And if Jesus came out of the grave, I'm going to come out of the grave too. And here's the deal, is he is fighting for his people. He's fighting for his church this morning. And although he may have died as the lamb, he arose as a lion. And he is fighting for his people, roaring for his church on your behalf, on my behalf. And he's inviting you, come on. Let's go on a walk. I want to go on a journey more than just the religious church services. Let's get out of here and let's start walking this thing together. I believe he's inviting you. Let's turn the page. It's been a dark day, but he has risen. Come out of the grave. Somebody just own that. I'm coming out of the grave. I'm coming out of my grave today. I'm coming out of the depression. I'm coming out of the confusion. I've been just a bummer and a loser, and I've been this, this, and this, and I can just soak in that. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to put my perfection on your account, and I want to forgive you and wash you clean today. Come on, let's get out of here. Let's go on a journey together. I want to wrap with this, and if you've got your little name tag here, you need to identify yourself. You need to identify as something new. And maybe you wear this out of here today, and you're going to own that name. Maybe you put this in your Bible there in Luke chapter 24, and this is just a reminder. This becomes kind of like an altar for you to flip back to. But you put a new name, and no longer am I going to identify as confused and tired and a poser, but I think that God has written something a little bit deeper on my heart. And as I look into my heart, I see that I'm forgiven. He has put this name upon me, that I am washed clean, that I have got a new name. I've got a new identity. I've been marked by something greater than my own imperfections. I've been marked by what he did for me on the cross. And so this morning, church, I want to pray for us and for any of you that feel like, man, I am lonely on this walk and on this journey. I need Jesus to jump in it with me. We're going to pray that he would jump into this journey and this walk with you, and that he would begin to open up some scriptures. He would begin to fill some gaps in your life, and he would say, hey, it's not just about religion. It's about a relationship with me. I want to know you, and I want you to know me. As we close here this morning, church, would you all just stand with me, and I would like to pray over us. Own this name tag this morning and write it down. Maybe your new word is alive, or maybe it is empty grave. Maybe it's washed clean. For mine, it's forgiven. I just want to live in a reality of being forgiven. I'm going to pray a prayer, and if you would, just repeat this prayer with me. And all I'm going to do is just say, Jesus, and just hang on just a second, but I'm just going to say, Jesus, and we're going to invite him to come into our hearts to wash us clean of our sin. And we're just going to invite him on this journey with us. We're going to give our lives to the Lord. If you want to pray that prayer, just repeat this after me. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. Change my life. I invite you this morning to go on a walk with me through this journey of life. I give my life to you. Fill in the gaps. Let me have an encounter with you today. I give you my heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, if you prayed that, we believe that Jesus is now having a relationship with you, and he wants to go on this journey with you, and he wants to love on you. And this is the best Easter of your life, where you're washed clean. You have a new identity, and his identity is marked upon you. And we just speak a blessing over you today in Jesus' name. Amen.
So we're so glad you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.